Chair, for the opportunity to be able to speak at this meeting of experts. I want to focus my short presentation on an S&T review mechanism and will draw from a recent report as well as the Germany UNIDIR working paper. The report has been developed by Ms. Alicia Anand and myself, along with our colleagues at UNIDIR. If this works. Sorry, Wenji, could you move the next slide, please? Thank you. It's clear to us that recent advances in the life sciences could have profound implications for a science-based disarmament agreement such as the BWC. To address changes in the life sciences and biotechnology, many states' parties have expressed support for a more systematic review of science and technology under the Convention. Such support has also been reflected in the results of a voluntary electronic survey of BWC states' parties that has been undertaken by UNIDIR. The survey results show that the survey had 42 responses from across all regional groups. At the same time, we want to be very clear, we do not present this as a statistically significant result, but rather we hope it provides an illustrative snapshot. And as the graph shows, it indicates that many respondents view a review mechanism as important or essential. However, it's clear that some states do not view this as important or see this as only a value as part of a wider package of measures. Both sets of views are important to keep in mind, and this is something we have been very clear to reflect in our report. Our survey has also shown that while many thought a mechanism was important or essential, they did not necessarily agree on why it was important or what a mechanism should do. Nor is there necessarily a shared understanding of the specific topics a mechanism should cover, something illustrated in the graph on your screen. Notably, there are also regional differences in views around which topics should be addressed as well. This leads us to the conclusion that building a common understanding around why states' parties require a review, who the review is for, and how the outputs or advice would be used could help states' parties in getting closer to a mechanism that meets their requirements. It would also be useful to think about how specific topics could be determined and by whom. For those that do support a mechanism, there are clearly differing views on the composition of such a mechanism. This is evident in working papers, wider discussion within this forum, as well as the survey results of our own research. Indeed, in the survey, we can see that many states' parties favoured a limited set of participants nominated by states who could form a closed, geographically representative set of experts. Others favoured a more open-ended process of science and technology review, in which states were able to nominate an expert or experts who would drop in or out of the discussion depending, for example, on the fit of the discussion with their expertise. There are advantages and disadvantages to both of these models, and to illustrate this with your indulgence, I'd like to provide some examples to give some of these models concrete form. To be very clear, I'm not intending these to be prescriptive. They are intended as options for states' parties to consider. It would, of course, be for states' parties to decide. With that in mind, perhaps I could start with what we've referred to as a limited participation model. A similar variant on this has been elaborated upon by the representative of the Russian Federation previously. This sort of model has precedence in organisations such as the Organisation for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, specifically the Scientific Advisory Board, although it is worth noting that the Scientific Advisory Board model does not translate directly onto the BWC structure for various reasons. Applied to the BWC, though, this model could draw from a group of 20 to 30 qualified geographically representative technical experts nominated by states' parties, who would address topics determined by the review conference or potentially an intermediary body. Additional temporary working groups could also be set up where required. The group could meet in Geneva twice, first for a week to collect information, and then subsequently for a period of 3 days to finalise a technical report and, where appropriate, develop recommendations. It is notable that virtual meetings could also be possible, but this would be subject to political acceptance. Such a model could have the advantage of providing a steady, stable, representative set of expert participants who will be able to provide policy-relevant findings and recommendations. A second model to consider is that of an open-ender model. This could allow interested states parties to send one or two expert participants to meet for a week once in Geneva, with further outputs developed through additional meetings. The important bit here is that it is any or all states parties will be able to participate. The review conference could again provide an overarching mandate for an open-ended mechanism with additional topics determined by an intermediary body. This open-ended model would address a point raised in the survey that all states parties have the right to participate in any discussion on the convention. And it may also have greater capacity to address emerging topics and questions in a timely manner. In the past, these two approaches have sometimes been presented as a binary choice. However, it is possible that some form of hybrid process could also be set up. There are different forms of hybrid meeting that could be considered. I understand my colleague Jennifer McAbee of the FAS may elaborate on some of these different models subsequently. But to provide one possible example, an open-ended meeting of 1 week duration could be organised. This technical focus meeting will be open to all nominated qualified experts and tasked with addressing specific issues agreed upon by the states parties. A rapporteur from the ISU could then develop a factual technical report that would be sent to states parties, as well as a BWC Science and Technology Committee or some form of body that would be comprised of a limited number of 20 qualified experts nominated by states parties and selected by the chair of the MSP. This committee would then be responsible for synthesizing a technical report into accessible briefing materials and developing the implications and, where appropriate, recommendations for consideration by states parties. In thinking further about a science and technology review mechanism, there will be several other factors that could be useful to consider further. These include issues of funding, the independence of a mechanism, and the provision of institutional support. The latter appears particularly important for a credible mechanism based on a number of interviews that we have conducted in our research. It is also worth noting that many of these issues are interconnected to some degree. Choices made in participation or objectives can have an impact in other areas. And with your indulgence, Mr. Chair, just some final reflections. It's clear that science and technology is of relevance to several articles of the Biological Weapons Convention. This was a point made in interventions over the course of MX1 in the last 2 days. It's also clear that discussion on a science and technology review mechanism cannot be detached from the wider politics of the Biological Weapons Convention. And it is unlikely to achieve consensus at the 9th Review Conference unless forming part of a wider collection of measures reflecting the interests of all states parties. This really points to the importance of substantive preparation ahead of the 9th Review Conference. And with that, thank you to colleagues from the German Federal Foreign Office for support on this project. Thank you also to those who are funding UNIDIR's wider work on the Biological Weapons Convention, Norway, France, and the Philippines. And thank you to you all for allowing me the time to be able to talk to you. I wish you every success with your proceedings. And of course, I'm happy to take questions now or bilaterally as at your convenience. And back over to you, Mr. Nakai-san.